You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Everybody, we are going to begin today with a little bit of behavioral economics, sort of a what would you do kind of thing. Apple, you might have heard, is out with a new FDIC-insured savings account. They're working with Goldman Sachs. The account offers a bit better than 4% interest. And maybe you said to yourself when you heard that, you know, 4% is pretty good, especially because the average interest rate on a savings account right now is below 1%. That is, by the way, according to Bankrate.com, they track that kind of thing. And then at the same time, you might also be thinking, do I really want to go through all the online forms and close my old account and click through all the terms and conditions and all the rest that I'm going to have to do just to get that better rate? Well, to a certain extent, it turns out that the banking system kind of depends on you saying, yeah, it's not worth it. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin to get us going.
When Rohan Shah wanted to close his checking account, savings account, and credit card at a large national bank, first he went to the chatbot, which even in the ChatGPT era still directed him to a phone number, and then...
And I had to speak to three different people to do that, fill three different forms, things like that. So that is, they don't make it easy.
Shah works for the consulting firm Simon Kucher. They do consumer research around this type of stuff. According to their data, about 30% of banking customers wouldn't switch banks just to get a better interest rate on their savings or to get some other incentive. Some stay with their current bank out of loyalty, but others just don't want the hassle.
There is a segment of customers that would not go through it because of this process.
Or maybe they don't want to change their direct deposit information or that Netflix subscription they used their debit card for 15 years ago. There's actually an economic phrase for this, says Greg McBride at Bankrate.
Deposit stickiness is a term that's used to indicate whether or not deposits that come in are likely to stay with the bank or if they're likely to flee and chase better returns elsewhere.
Now, that stickiness has its benefits for the financial system. Just ask Silicon Valley Bank whether they wanted more adhesive on their deposits. But McBride says a lot of the recent stickiness is just savers not used to the idea that a bank would actually pay them interest.
And so for the better part of the last 15 years, returns on savings have been dreadfully low. And so, I do think that a lot of consumers kind of fell asleep at the switch.
Younger savers, though, are doing more comparison shopping since the Fed began raising rates, says Chanel Bissett at NerdWallet.
It appears that younger folks do seem to have a bit more comfort with online-only banks, which are typically the ones that are offering the highest interest rates.
And younger customers are less likely to need a mortgage or other services you're more likely to get at brick-and-mortar banks. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
The economic picture over in the UK has been tempestuous of late, to say the least. We'll get their latest inflation figures tomorrow, but British prices have been even higher than ours over the past year. CPI in the double digits since last July. On top of that, there's been almost a year of widespread union strikes across the country, mostly over pay and the high cost of living. And both imports and exports were down in February, so it has been rough all the way around. With that as background, then, we've gotten Sam Wallace on the phone. She sells honey at her stall. It's called From Field and Flower in London's Borough Market. Sam, it is so good to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to talk to you too, Kai.
So as you don't need me to tell you, and as I said up in the introduction, things are a little tricky right now over there. And I guess, first of all, the question is, as every time I talk to you, how's business?
Well, broadly speaking, it's okay. I mean, I sound a bit hesitant. It is okay. It's good. It's fine. January, February, weather-wise here is pretty bleak. And so, you know, you just don't want to go out. So traditionally, that's a low turnover kind of period for us. And that's been true this time round, but not fatal or anything, just kind of as expected. Yeah. And actually, we've just been doing our calculations for what we call our Easter trade. And actually, we've done pretty well. We've had some tourists come. There's definitely more international visitors coming. We're feeling quite good at the moment, cautiously optimistic.
Is it just you and your husband in the shop, or do you have staff? And what I'm trying to get at is hiring and the labor market over there. Could you hire an assistant shopkeeper if you needed to?
Oh, if we needed to now, no, probably. Well, yes, we could eventually. It's been tricky. We have two young ladies who work for us. And so we were very lucky, but we have colleagues effectively who, and fellow traders who cannot find staff. It's very hard. It's very hard. Partly, I think a lot of people went home if home was elsewhere than the UK, you know, at the pandemic, and certainly either before or during, and if they could. And then I'm sure it's been relatively reported, but Brexit certainly created an uptick of people who are perhaps not keen to be here or didn't know where their future lied, and they decided to go back. And that includes lots of my friends, actually.
Yeah. Brexit has gotten some press. I think that's a safe assumption that you can make. But let me ask you about it since you brought it up. Here we are like 3 years on from the actual separation date. I honestly forget how many years since the vote. are you still dealing with the after effects? You must be, right?
Oh, constantly. Yes. I mean, I feel like a bit like a broken record. And I feel a bit like we have a constant... what would be the right word for it? Like an axe is probably a slightly dramatic sense of it, but a certain kind of foreboding. There's always something hanging over us because there's lots of new regulations. So prices have increased for us, partly because our beekeeper's seasons haven't been great, but absolutely because the pound has been weaker against the euro. And we use good services that give us, you know, very competitive conversion rates, but we have lost a lot of sort of percentage points on the conversion. And then we have more trade costs. So we have transport costs have gone up. So our transporter have put their prices up by about 10%. And then we pay customs charges, which we never paid before.
So look, why don't you just say, relatively speaking, and I get that this is a tricky decision for you to make, why don't you just say, the heck with Europe, we're going to source our stuff elsewhere?
Well, we're sort of doing that. I mean, we wouldn't say to heck with Europe. I mean, frankly, I guess we think of ourselves as European, and I have to say some of our best honey, like the most fantastic honeys, the honey that started it all, if you will, comes from Italy, and they are that beekeeper.
Wait. What was the honey that started it all? Tell me about the honey that started it all.
It was a cherry flower honey from Italy, from Piemonte. And I, as an English person, was just like, what do you mean cherry flower honey? And of course, I tried it. And the age old stereotype and cliche of Italian food culture is sadly absolutely true because it was marvelous. So, yes, that is where it began. That said, with barriers to trade, it being not frictionless anymore, we'd be mad not to look elsewhere. So we have actually just started a conversation with a beekeeper and essentially an ecologist who runs a cooperative in Africa, representing places like Ethiopia and Madagascar and Kenya. And so we're trying some really interesting stuff, which is exciting.
I can't help but notice, Sam, that you've never once in all of our conversations going back 4 years now, you've never talked about American honey. I'm just saying.
Do you know what? We have customers coming from the States who tell me wherever they're from, be it Oklahoma, be it the West Coast, wherever it is, that they produce these great honeys. And they always promise me they're going to bring me some back, and they never do. So I'm up for that. You know, I'm very up for that.
Well, for look, sure. if you have American honey and you're going to the UK, swing by the Borough Market. The name of the shop is From Field and Flower. Sam, tell Sam Wallace that I sent you, and she'll know exactly what you're talking about. Sam, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kai. Take care.
You too. That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.